Lord. Say amen. Amen. We are very grateful for that word from the choir and for the word we shall receive from this Bible. All for one. You will recognize that phrase, all for one, to be a part of that famous Three Musketeer motto, all for one, one for all. Say it with me. One for all. One for all. Well, let's pray. Lord, guide us into this reflection, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. One for all for one. Well, by now, if you've been around at all during the first part of the year, in this church on Sabbaths, you know we've been emphasizing oneness. Oneness. Well, the oneness of man, which we've been stressing, actually begins with the oneness of God. For we are made in His image, are we not? And the oneness of God is a major teaching of Scripture. Our opening text was and is, for there are how many? Three that bear record in heaven. Jim Armstrong read the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. So early in Scripture, the oneness is there. Stay with me now. I'm building the foundation. Early in Scripture, the oneness of God is there. Genesis 1:1 says, in the beginning, God did what? Created the heaven and the earth. And we know that that word God is a plural word because in Genesis 1:26, the Bible says, and God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. And so God is plural, more than one. And all of this us was involved in our creation. Genesis 1:2 says, the Spirit of God moved upon the waters at creation. John 1:1-3 says that through Him, that is Christ, all things were made, and without Him was nothing made which was made. So the Spirit was there, Christ was there. And Psalm 104, a beautiful psalm, describes God's part in creation. So Father, Son, Holy Ghost, Lennox Henry were all involved, one in creation. They have never done anything worthwhile that they've not done together. But we must never make the mistake of trying to liken the oneness of the Holy Trinity to any concept of oneness that we know. Jesus, in seeking to help his disciples understand the oneness He had with His Father, it almost sounds like double talk. In John 10:30, I and my Father are one. John 10:38, the Father is in me and I in Him. And John 14:9, he that has seen me has seen the Father. The idea, because we need to talk about this table, The idea for Jesus to come here and become human, to live on this sin-filled earth, was a mutually, listen, the plan was mutually agreed upon by the three. Just like the three, hear me, just like the three, Sam Warner, came together to create the earth, the three came together to recreate the earth. Just like the three came together to make Adam and Eve for the first time, the three come together now to restore us, to recreate us. And so we are called those who've been born again. Let the church say amen. And so they agreed upon the plan. And in the plan, they were all for one and one for all. That is, they were all for one in that the three worked together for the success of Jesus. They were one for all in the sense that Jesus gave himself for all, Trinity and human race, that the earth and heaven might be one as the three are one. All for one, one for all. All agreed. The Bible calls it the Council of Peace. Jesus volunteered to be the one. Could have been the Holy Spirit, could have been the Father. You see, I don't understand what happened, Anwar, but what I know is that in that council, Jesus said, this doesn't have to be a long meeting, I'll do it. So he volunteered, and so with that volunteering, then they all said, well, look, we'll support the one. Because later on, he's going to be the one for us all. He'll build the bridge. So all will be for the one. I want to return to the thought, the idea that Jesus came here and became human to live on this sin-filled earth as an agreed upon plan between the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Revelation 13 says, he's the Lamb slain from the foundation of the earth. I don't know when they had this Council of Peace. I don't know when this meeting took place. All I know is, before the earth was made, we had a Savior. Come on, y'all. Before there was sin, there was a Savior. Acts 2:23 says, he was delivered to us by the foreknowledge and the determined purpose of God. Once it was decided, Robert Mitchell, once God said he would do it, once Jesus said he would do it, they all set their minds, okay, this is the plan, we'll support Jesus, Father will be there, Holy Ghost will be there, but Jesus will carry the ball. Ephesians 1:4 says the plan was before the foundation of this world. So it was agreed upon by the three, it was referred to as the Council of Peace, so the three were committed to Christ's condensation. But now, that raises the question in my mind. See, if I'm Jesus, stay with me, and we three have agreed, Father, Son, Holy Ghost, we three, they're equal, you know. Nobody can make anybody do anything. They're so equally powerful that two can't gang up on one. Come on, y'all. So it's pure volunteer, but you got to figure if you're Jesus, if we've agreed upon the plan, then at least the one, Jesus, ought to be able to count on the support of the two, Father and Spirit. I'll do it. Y'all back me. We're with you. But there's a problem. Because when I read Matthew 27:45-46, I read, and now from the sixth hour until the ninth, there was darkness over the land. And then in verse 46, I read, and about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, that is, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? How did that text get in the Bible? If there's all for one and they're supporting him, what's he doing out there by himself, feeling by himself? What happened? Of Christ is holding up his end. He's on the cross. He's in pain. He's suffering. He's dying. Where are they? And all did to Abraham he feels is darkness and aloneness. Where's the other two? What happened to the plan? Because now Jesus is human. He now is feeling what I feel. And it was great up in heaven when we counseled together and we said we would do this. It sounded fine. He's never been human. He's never had a body. He's never felt pain. He's never been hungry. Now he's down to the least he can expect is some support from these other two guys. Are you listening to me? So what's he doing crying on the cross? My God! And the word used there, by the way, is a plural word. He's saying, my God, where are you, Holy Ghost? Where are you, Father? I'm doing it. Where are you? And the scripture paints it. I mean, all through his coming to the earth, he had support. At his conception, Luke 1:35 says, the Holy Spirit was there and initiated his conception. At birth, Luke 2:15 says, God sent angels to announce the place where he was born. He's got support. As a child, Matthew 2:13, God used an angel to protect Jesus from destruction. Hey, we're in this plan together. Jesus is feeling it. I can count on them. They can count on me. At the launch of his ministry, God shows up. This is my beloved son, whom I'm well pleased. Matthew 3, he's got support. In the wilderness temptation, he's tired, he's hungry, he's worn out. The devil's beating him upside the head. Matthew 4:11, God sends angels to restore him and give him food. Okay, we're doing good. We're in this thing together. What about this cross stuff? John 5:29 and 30, every time he does a miracle, Ellen White says he's infused with power from heaven. And he feels their support, praying to him at night, sometimes all night. He feels their support. Walking with the disciples, he feels their support. Sometimes when he's in danger, they even allow him to become invisible. And it's going pretty good, this Save Yourself, Trevor. Not doing bad at all. Why? Because I got these two with me all the way. Need help? They're there. You see, folks, you don't know God for yourself until you don't know God is there for yourself. All the support from heaven, all during his 3.5 years, the Father and the Spirit are always there. But when it came to crunch time, when it came to carrying out the nexus, the core of the plan of salvation, and they had discussed the plan. You see, it's one thing to discuss something, folks, another thing to do it. I believe they even talked about what it's going to be like to die on a cross. But they've never done this before. Folks, are you listening to me? And they assured him, we're right there with you, right there with you. But they knew what as God he knew, but as a human being he didn't know, hope you followed that sentence, that once you are in the flesh and you're having a rough time, it's hard when your body is racked with cancer to know that God is there. It's hard when you don't have money to pay your rent to know that God is there. It's hard when your marriage is falling apart to believe he's there. But until you hang on the cross and know he is there, you don't know God. You had to walk where I walk. Yes, God gives me breath and food and housing and job and family and clothes to wear, heat in the winter and cooling in the summer, but there are those times when it seems like I cannot find him. You ever been in a situation in your life where you don't feel God's presence? Don't sit there pious. Say amen. But you see, in the very statement, Mike, is faith. My God, why have... He knows he's there. He calls his name, he's asking for them. You see, at the cross, Christ is treated as if he committed the sins he's dying for. Did you follow that sentence? My sins. At Calvary, hey, wake up call. At Calvary, he must die for unconfessed sins. That's why page 796, the Desire of Ages cries out, ladies and gentlemen, that he died the death of those who would not be saved. He had to experience the glare, the cold chill of eternal separation. He didn't just die for the saved, he died for sin. And so through Isaiah, he cries out, I've trod the winepress alone. And from the people, no one was with me. And Isaiah 53:10, describing the suffering servant, says, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him and put him to grief. At the cross, it was all for one, and that all three were committed to sins being paid for. All three were committed that the fabric of the universe was torn by rebellion, had to be repaired, but it was also one for all. Jesus would have to experience the full brunt of God's displeasure. And by the way, as bad and rough as your life has been, you have never, ever felt the brunt of God's full displeasure. Because the wages of sin are death and you're alive. You would have to feel the full brunt of God's displeasure with mankind and simultaneously experience God's need to be free from the fear that God's displeasure can cause. But just a minute. Where was God? Paul says, I got news for you. What is it, Paul? 2 Corinthians 5, verses 19 and 20. Tell me, Paul, I need some help because it looks like Christ has been abandoned by you too. You set him up, put him up, sent him down, left him by himself. I need a text. The Bible cries out, hey, got news for you. God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. He did not leave the cross. God crawled inside of God, Jesus, at the cross. And when I'm in trouble and things are going bad, God does not leave me. He crawls in me and straightens my back and gives me courage and power to walk. Amen. Hallelujah. He didn't abandon the cross. He crawled on the cross. The Son got there, and the Father and the Spirit said, it's time now for us to pay our dues. It's not just one for all. It's now all for one. And we're going to crawl down in there with him and feel with him and bear up with him. That's how you got through that crisis, because God did not leave you. He got inside of you. Your marriage fell apart. He was in you. They said you had cancer, 4th stage. He was in you. He doesn't leave you hanging on a cross. He gets on the cross and hangs with you. And so at this communion service, let us rejoice. The sin of man is on him. The love of God is in him. God's disdain for sin is on him. But the fear that we experience because of God is in him. The separation from God is in him. The penalty for sin is on him. One for all. We, like Jesus, are never left alone. We just feel alone. And this table says, lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the earth. Could somebody squeeze out an amen?
Amen.
The plan worked. The plan worked, Blackwood. The plan worked. It looked desperate, it looked bad, John Reed, but the plan worked. Satan thought he had him, and he didn't, because all three climbed on the cross. And when God makes up his mind to be one for all and all for one, you see, I don't know how we ever got the idea that Christ died by himself. The three are one. And he kept telling us in John 17, I in me and him in me and me in them, all that double talk. It stood up at the cross. All three bore my sin. I am somebody. Come on, y'all. So as you go to the table, as you go to wash feet, praise God that the plan worked. One for all and all for one. Let us pray. Father, what a marvelous sacrifice you and your Son and the Spirit made together. How you did this. Ellen White says, in great controversy, we will study it for eternity. I can't understand your oneness, and I can't understand your togetherness. I can understand this, that because of it, I'm saved from sin, and I'm going to live eternally with you. As we take into ourselves these emblems, as we bathe one another's feet, may we find some of that oneness in our pitiful lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we separate, our couples go downstairs into the music room and fellowship together. On this side, we have space for men, particularly those who are infirm. And on this side, ladies infirm, but there also is a room downstairs for single ladies and single men. Let us separate together and worship.